Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Homestead Journey podcast. I'm Erin, and I'm absolutely thrilled that you are here. This isn't just any homesteading podcast. It's a journey we're taking together. Join me as I, along with my family and guests, share stories, educate, and lean into encouraging you in the art of homesteading. Each episode, we'll dive into the nitty-gritty of life on the farm, sharing tips, tricks, and tales to inspire and equip you on your own homesteading journey. And remember, no matter where you are on this path, you are not alone. I'm so glad you're here. Well, hello, friend. I am so excited to be on the podcast today, sharing with you my latest interview with the sweetest guest, Neely. She lives in Tennessee as well. She moved here a few years before us, and she is a videographer and photographer for like home births, home life. She'll come to your homestead, your home. It doesn't have to be a homestead, and just take videos and photos in your environment. And we just kind of go over why that's important, why the feeling of photos in your home, in your natural environment, not just smiling in front of a screen, is so important. And it's a great way to document for years to come. And then actually getting those photos off of devices and into your hands physically and on your walls, and why that all matters as well. And so not only do we talk about that, she also travels. So anyone, this is applicable for anyone in the United States to listen to, and to hire possibly her. But we just talk about homesteading in general. She has a dairy cow, which you guys know that I am after this year. That's like one of our goals, is to get a dairy cow. So we get to talk to her about that. I just want to tell you that my audio is probably not the greatest. One of the reasons I took a break over the past couple of weeks was I decided to upgrade my mic, because I have been videoing. I've been doing video and then audio with so many different people that my previous mic, that was really inexpensive, I've been using for the last 2 years, was just, it wasn't cutting it anymore. So we had to do an upgrade. I also did a new intro into the podcast because the old one didn't feel right anymore. So we just have a lot of fun new stuff going on. The podcast is just getting better and better, and I'm so glad you're here. So let's, without further ado, jump into the episode. Okay, I think we're live here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Homestead Journey podcast. We have a special guest on today, Neely Briskey, and I first found her on Instagram because she's also in Tennessee, and she has a cow and all the cool things I want to have, and so I immediately started following her. She also has like the most Cinderella voice. It's just beautiful. And so welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you, Erin. I'm so excited to be here. My voice is a little under the weather after a cold, but I'm here. You're so sweet.
It has been going around for sure. But I've been doing this where I just pull in different people who are living the homestead life, and most of them have businesses as well. But it's just kind of so fun to relate to other people who are in similar, but yet at the same time, vastly different journeys. Like a lot of us live in Tennessee, or we've moved a significant distance from our original place. We're all trying to start these businesses that maybe have to do with homesteading or intertwine with homesteading, which yours definitely does. So before we get to, you are a photographer and a videographer, and your stuff is absolutely stunning. But before we get into that set portion of it, I just kind of want to talk about your journey, how you ended up in Tennessee, kind of your family, what you've got going on the homestead, and just kind of a rundown of how you got here, how long you've been in Tennessee, and just that part of your journey. So I'm going to let you take it over.
Okay, great. So I actually was born and raised in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, and never thought I would leave Texas. That's where I met my husband at church. My whole life was there, all of my family, all of his family. And then we were married in 2015. We got married young. I was 19 and he was 21. And we were married for a few years. And then in 2018, we were just having a conversation, and long story short, we just really felt like God was telling us to move to Tennessee. And so we moved to the Nashville area and landed there, ended up 30 minutes north of the city, kind of more in the country. I grew up in the suburbs, and we were kind of like, oh, it'd be fun to live in the country. Like, I don't know. We had never experienced that. We had visited Tennessee several times before because my sister lived there prior and met her husband there. And so she was there for a short time, moved back to Texas. And then we were like, we love Tennessee. And so we moved to a really beautiful area, 30 minutes north of Nashville, and we were on an acre. And in between all of that time, we had actually walked through around four years of infertility. Mm-hmm. And during that time, like I went from knowing nothing about health to being like an ultra crunchy person, mm-hmm. but for the benefit of things, because I really saw my health turn around. And in the span of time after moving here, and that was 2018, end of 2018, we moved to Tennessee, and we became pregnant and then adopted all in the same year.
Wow.
And so that was when we were living in Nashville, and we had an open adoption with, so I was pregnant in my third trimester, and then that's a whole other story in itself that we can or don't have to get into. But basically we brought home our 2-week-old son when I was 28 weeks pregnant. And my mom, she was living in Knoxville then at the time, and was driving back and forth helping us. And so then she had to go back home after a couple weeks, and I cried because I was like, I have two babies. And like, I ended up having to have like last minute semi-traumatic C-section. It was a planned home birth. And so my recovery was pretty brutal. And then on top of that, I was breastfeeding and pumping to be able to feed both of my babies. And I was so exhausted. I was so exhausted. So after about a year, my parents, again, they ended up moving to Knoxville somewhere in the middle of all of this, because all of their kids ended up moving out of Texas, kind of more to the northeast. It's still the south technically, but it feels north compared to Texas. Yeah. And so we all kind of ended up in that area. So my parents followed us. They ended up landing in Knoxville, where my dad was able to find work for his insurance. And so after about a year of living, how many years was that? So we moved here 2018, a couple more years, and then we had kids. So I had both my boys 2021, you know, everything happening around that time too, still kind of after crazy years. And basically I was like, I'm so tired. We need to be by family. Mm. East Tennessee is really beautiful too. So we ended up moving over this way to be by family again and have help raising our children. Cause I was like raising the white flag. I was like, I need help.
Oh my gosh. That literally is like having twins. I mean, basically, right? Yes. Like both at the same time. It's crazy how God works, because it is never in the ways that we ever expect. It's always like thrown in a twist there. But how amazing that they're going to be able to grow up so close in age. Like, that's such a blessing. And my parents, it's so funny you say that, because my parents, they were in Washington. And when we moved here, we didn't know if anyone was going to follow us. And they came 6 months later with my brother. And so they live 15 minutes down the road. And it's so different living with family. Like, it's such a blessing, because you feel so alone, especially when you had still not been there for a significant amount of time for all of those life changes. So I'm sure the help was like very, very needed and just a blessing.
Yes, it's really made a world of a difference. And my parents at the time, they were living more closer in towards like Pigeon Forge, the part of East Tennessee where it's a lot more touristy, and that's really all I'd seen. I was like, I don't really care to move here, before we had kids and would visit them. But then they moved more towards the Townsend area, and oh my gosh, it's called the peaceful side of the Smokies, and it's just stunning. I mean, all of Tennessee, like, I haven't met a part of Tennessee that I don't love. But after we started visiting them where they live there, I was like, okay, I really like it over here. Another one of my sisters had also moved to Nashville. We both talked. We were like, what if we both moved over there? And like, we got to raise our kids, you know, close by each other and by our parents, because we grew up living next door to my grandparents. And that is honestly one of the biggest blessings of my childhood. I was very close to my Poppy and Grandma, as we called them. And so we really wanted that for our kids. And you know, me and all my siblings were all very independent kiddos, but we all love each other. We're all very close. And so, you know, we kind of spread our wings, flew to different areas, but then we've kind of started to come close together again. I have a sister in North Carolina as well. So yeah.
That is so awesome. So people always ask, because they want to know the husband's and like the financial, was he able to like transfer over there, or how did that work? Because I think that's the biggest thing that holds people up, is like, oh, the job thing. And to be able to move from like to Nashville from Texas is a huge thing. But then to, again, replant yourself, I mean, because it is a few hours away, it's not like you couldn't have the same location for job, for sure.
Yeah. So that is one thing I'm so thankful for. My husband, he works remote. He works for a company in Texas. And when we initially moved to Nashville and felt led to do that, he talked to his boss, because we were feeling really strongly like God was telling us to go. And so we didn't know at that time if he'd keep his job or not, because he wasn't working remote at that time. He was, okay. It was an office job. He works as a ghostwriter. So he writes in the name of different ministries and things like that. And so he talked to his boss, and essentially his boss was like, you know what, we'll give it a go. We'll try it. We'll see how remote work ends up working out. Kind of had a trial run of that moving to Tennessee, and it went really well. My husband, he's a really hard worker, really good at what he does. So, and then after all of that too, ended up being COVID, and like everyone was working remote anyways.
So it proved to be a good test. Yeah. And so many jobs nowadays, like there's so much more remote working, which I think has freed up a lot of families, thankfully, to be able to do that. And I know like people who have physical jobs, it's still possible. It's definitely harder, but it is achievable for sure. So, okay. That was a lot. Yeah. That was amazing. Okay. So you've already kind of shared some things, but once you got settled there, what were some of the highlights or the challenges that you faced settling into the home that you're currently in now?
Yeah. So we ended up choosing this home because, so in that time with becoming a mom and living in the Nashville area, that's when my homesteading journey kind of started. I was like, I'm going to learn how to bake bread. I was actually completely off social media for 2 years. Kind of had no idea there was like this kickstart in the homesteading world. And yet I was still feeling a pull to that. Just, I think becoming a mom and really looking for ways to save money. And I was continuing in my kind of toxin free health journey. And so I was getting into more cooking from scratch. And I was like, well, what if I can grow some of my food? And so I started a little garden, and then I started daydreaming about ducks or chickens or some kind of like milk animal. We had started sourcing raw milk from a local farm. And so it went from learning how to make my first loaf of sourdough to having a milk cow, I think, a year later. So
it's such a cascading thing. It was in the middle of our whole life.
It is. It's like, if you give a girl a sourdough loaf, it's if you give a mouse a cookie sort of thing. You might end up with a homestead in a minute. So yeah, I was on that journey. I was like, I really want to just create more of a nourishing life for our family. And I just fell in love with the country. I fell in love with gardening. Like, nature has always been for me somewhere that is very healing. And I just feel my happiest when I'm outside in the sun. So when we were looking to move here, I was thinking maybe 3 to 5 acres. I didn't want anything huge. My husband wasn't super into like homesteading. It was more my dream, but he was going to support me in that. And so I was looking for something more manageable that I could do. So we were just looking around, and it was kind of, we were coming in town to look at another house, and that house did not work out at all. And then this one was a little bit further out than we wanted to be, but it's this 1918 farmhouse on 3.5 acres, and it has a pole barn. It's already fully fenced in, all of that. And so we came and looked at it. I cried. I was like, I want to live in this house so badly. So we put an offer the same day. It was, because it was further out, it was a little more in budget, slightly more affordable for everything that it came with. And so when inspection came back and everything looked good for a 100-plus-year-old farmhouse, we were like, okay, let's do it. And so because we already had the pole barn and everything, it was kind of like, we might as well get the cow. Like, we're here. owning a farmhouse, surprisingly, typically if you buy a really old house, like we knew we needed to be ready if anything comes up with the house, if there's any issues. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very well maintained. So we really haven't had much we've had to deal with. The biggest thing was in the winter, we were dealing with mice, and it was like, I was not used to that. And so we dealt with that last winter and this winter. So it's really was just a matter of having to find all the possible holes in the crawl space and all of that that you have to deal with. And then also, I would say the one other thing with the old farmhouse, it's not insulated super well. And so when we had the crazy freeze both these last 2 years, when our house lost power, it was so cold. It got so cold in our house. And we're going to get a wood stove put in before next winter, because it used to have a fireplace and a wood stove when it was first built. And then somebody took those out. I don't know why anybody took those out, but those are probably the biggest challenges.
That's so crazy. I was going Definitely. Sorry. I was going to. So we have a little bit of lag, everybody. So if we're kind of talking over each other, it's not on purpose. It's just we're trying to gauge each other. But I was going to ask about the fireplace, because I'm like, wait, that house is so old. It had to have had one at. It's funny how people change houses and just change the structure. Mm-hmm. And then we get these houses and we're like, no, wait, take it back. Like, we want it how it was before, because ours is so similar. We bought it was made in the early 1920s is what they think. But same thing, no insulation in the house at all through the sides. There was literal holes in the floor. We had raccoons that were getting up in my son's room. We had to close that room off for the first 6 months until we could, because the rest of the house had so many issues that we just kind of closed that off. And him and my daughter shared a room until we could get in there and clean it all out. And I mean, there was like a black widow spider up there. It was wild, but it was crazy. But I love how you just kind of like, you have to learn to compromise, as far as like the house was gorgeous, but it was further out than you wanted. And so it is that compromise of, I can't probably get exactly everything. I don't think most people can. And so it's going, what are my top priorities and what can or can't we live with that are like deal breakers? And man, I would do the same thing if there was like the full on barn and the infrastructure. So when we bought our house, it had been not maintained and not cared for well. And so basically we are kind of starting from scratch. Like, we had to knock out over all the old buildings. They were super dangerous. And so like looking back, infrastructure would have been so nice. So I commend you on seeing those things and being like, yes, this is ideal, because we went the opposite. We went like, we want tons of acreage. So we bought 120 acres, but it has nothing. And so it's going to take us so much longer to establish these things versus like looking back, we're like, we could have done with a lot less acreage. Like, we made the right decision and I'm not regretting it, but I'm just saying like, it's not everything. Infrastructure is huge, especially most of us are doing this on budget. So we have to make sure we have the things we need to actually live out this journey that we want to live out, you know? And right. So I want to kind of get in to the dairy cow. So you went on the health journey, you kind of gone down the rabbit hole like me, and you just kind of see, I think once you're exposed to it, you can't shut your eyes to it. Like, you see everything, and then it just, every day more is exposed, which just makes you turn inward more. And you're like, what can I get here? So that I always tell people, I'm like, I want to live like, you know, maybe like the Amish almost. Like, I want to be able to know that I can do that if need be. Not that I want to. I love Instagram and I love the internet. But if all that was to just go down tomorrow, I want to know that we have the capacity to be able to do things here. And so I kind of want to talk about the cow thing with you. I talked with someone 2 weeks ago who actually is a raw dairy farmer. So she kind of has a different perspective than what we would going into it. But I love how you said, because I think so many people want to jump on the train, but I like how you said that you were buying raw milk like me way before you even had the cow, and you were probably practicing and utilizing and working with this milk so that once you brought the cow on, it wasn't just like everything all at once. Like, you already had some experience with how to utilize some of that milk. So when you talk about the cow, I know you shared a lot of your journey on Instagram. Everyone, I definitely encourage you to go follow her on Instagram. She's a wealth of knowledge, and you share a lot of other great homesteading accounts that I know that you know them And it's just a really good back and forth with you guys. But just kind of share about your experience with that. And then we'll kind of move on into how you're capturing all these beautiful moments for all the other families that are kind of out there doing similar things to us.
Yeah. So learning about raw dairy was a game changer for me because I had in my past in high school, I'd had a lot of gut issues and issues with dairy. And so we were doing goat milk at first because that is the raw dairy we found closest to us. And after a year of pumping, I was like, I can't do it anymore. So I found this sweet lady who has just a small farm with some goats. And so we started getting goat milk mostly for my son. And then I was drinking it a little bit here and there, mostly putting it in smoothies and stuff. Like I was never a milk drinker growing up. Like I loved ice cream. Ice cream is my forever favorite food in the whole world. And so I just didn't drink milk though. So I was kind of like, you know, we'll have it in smoothies, we'll make ice cream. Like I had these different ideas, but we were having that milk and using it. But definitely going from that to a dairy cow is a big jump because it was like so much more milk. But I'm someone I like a challenge and I like having something to do with my hands. And so yeah. I'd been doing a lot of research on getting a milk cow. I was really, there was a lot of parts of me that was scared about it just because I would like read about all the possible things that could go wrong with having a cow because I really wanted like the hard truth and reality of what it looks like to own a cow. So I was on the fence about it for around like 6 months. Like, should we do it? Should we do it? And then once we bought this place though, and it had all the infrastructure for a cow, there's water out there in the pasture. This used to be 100 years ago, the people who built this house, it was a dairy farm. And so they owned like hundreds of acres all around here. And wow. There's like a barn behind us. That's actually our neighbors turned into a house. And so there's a barn that's a house now. The pasture was fantastic. There are so many things that were like, we really could sustain a dairy cow and her calf on here. And so I just started looking and the first listing I found on Craigslist, I pull it up and I reach out and I'm like, this looks really good. Like everything I had been researching and learning, it just all seemed really good. We went out to visit the cow, really, really sweet family. They answered all of my questions very honestly. And so I practiced milking her. My next door neighbor, actually, this was the other cool thing. She's a large animal vet. So wow. That was also like a huge kind of like green light for me because I was like, if I ever need last minute help on something, like she's right there and literally knows what to do. She has a dairy cow as well. So she was letting me practice milking her dairy cow. And so, yeah, I was kind of like, okay, the only thing that's holding me back at this point is like fear of failure. So I can't let that stop me. So I was like, let's do it. And we did and just haven't looked back. And yeah, I definitely had to learn really quickly how to make a lot of things with dairy because the little bit of goat milk we were getting at the time was nothing compared to the amount of milk that our Jersey girl gave us. So it was still a learning curve, pretty sharp learning curve at first. The first month I was like, what am I doing? But we made it past that and I stuck with it. And yeah, I literally made ice cream at 9 this morning because I was like, oh, more room in the fridge. Got to make some ice cream.
Okay. So I have to ask, do your hands hurt at the beginning? Like when you're first learning how to milk, were your hands just like super sore? Do you catch on? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's, gosh. I mean, there's still, I'm constantly like massaging my hands because I hand milk because it really only takes me like 10, maybe 15 minutes to milk her out in the morning. So if we had multiple cows, we'd probably use a machine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just preference, but it's important obviously to know how to hand milk mm-hmm. in case you do have a machine and it's ever not working or something like that, you know? So I hand milk her and I say the biggest part actually even beyond your hands is your oh my gosh, whatever this muscle is now that
like
I'm
forearm.
Blanking on. Yeah, yeah. It is so sore. It's still like all the time. Like it's my brother-in-law was joking with me. He's huge into like muscle building and all that. He was like, oh my gosh, let me see your arms.
That is so funny. Yeah, now, how long have you had her for now?
We got her in October. It's been, oh gosh, this year in October, it'll be 2 years. So I guess not quite a year and a half, but almost.
That is so cool. Okay, so that's my next goal, is we're trying to get the infrastructure ready and like some fencing and stuff. And I've been looking hardcore at them, but you're right. It's like you have to be prepared. I love how you have a vet next to you. That's so amazing. And how you did a lot of research, because I'm the same way. It's like I want one so bad, and I will get one because I'm one of those people too where I like a challenge, and I can't live with myself if I don't try something that I really want to do. Otherwise, I will just regret it for forever and kick myself. So it's happening. But then there is part of me that's like, oh my goodness, there are so many things that could possibly go wrong. But I think you're right. It's being prepared. I've asked my friends close by, like, what vets do you use? Which ones work best on, you know, cows and large animals and stuff like that. So it's good to be prepared. But at the end of the day, you just have to push the button, push play, go through, do it, and then just kind of experience it. Otherwise, you could learn all this kind of stuff and research and study for forever. I mean, there's just so much to know.
Yes, I know. I have to tell myself to not get stuck in the research element of it, because I can do that. And I finally have to be like, okay, I just got to jump and do it. Yeah, it's easy to get hung up on all those what ifs, but
yes,
you're going to learn, like, no matter what. You have to learn in the doing as well. It's always going to be a part of it, no matter how much you research.
That's so true. You can only study so much hands-on. I'm a very hands-on person, so that's how I learn best as well. So the beauty of homesteading, which it is beautiful, like as much as there's mud and poop and muck and death and everything else, like we do it because out of all of that, there's so many pockets of just absolute beauty that I don't know that you can get in a different lifestyle. Like, I guess we're partial, obviously, but there's just so much that's beautiful about this. So were you always into photography? Like what? And there's so many different ways to do photography and videography and the environments that you're doing it in. What drew you to it initially? And then why were you like, I want to focus on people in their elements, in their houses, living their daily lives?
Yeah. So when I started my videography and photography business, it actually started off capturing births, because I was newly married. And then one of my sisters, who she was married the year prior, they had their first baby, and she asked if I would come and take some videos and photos for her at the birth. At that point, I didn't know anything about it. I had a camera, and it was kind of like in high school, everyone was like a photographer, and I don't like just doing things because other people are doing them. And so even though I've always been very artistic, I like telling stories. Like, I love music and writing and all of this. So for me, it was like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't, because like other people, it was such a fad. It felt like that I was kind of holding myself back from that. But after capturing my sister's birth, like, I just, one, fell in love with the miracle of birth. I was like, that was the most incredible thing I've ever witnessed. And then I really wanted to start doing that for other women. And so I started learning more. I invested in a camera. And what's funny, I learned videography before I learned photography, because
wow.
Even as a kid, like, I was always, you know, you make videos with your friends, you do the goofy, different kind of stuff. But also, I was always a kid watching old home videos and wanting to look back at all of that. My friends would come over and be like, oh, you have to watch all these videos when me and my siblings were kids. And I'd like force them to watch all of this. They're like, okay, Neely, that's enough. But I just loved that. I loved, funny enough, I wasn't great at history in school, but I've always loved personal history. And like, I would hone in more on like personal stories when I'd learn them in history. So I was always more interested in an individual person's story. And so I just kind of, after that birth started, I invested in a course where I learned all about videography and started doing that, and kind of self-taught myself photography through YouTube and blogs and different things like that. And so I just jumped in that. I offered like extremely, extremely low prices for attending people's births and creating these films for them. And so it started off that way. And then I ended up going into a bit of like a health spiral and was dealing with really severe anxiety attacks and just different things in my health where being on call for births and all of that, it was just not doable. And so as I worked on like kind of healing and then learning more about that, I turned more towards just families in general. And then once again, just found myself continuing to be drawn to I think that's why I loved birth. I was capturing what was real and what was happening. There was no pose. It was like, hey, can you do that again? Like it was all about capturing what's happening in the moment, getting the raw, beautiful, authentic emotions. And I just love that. I love taking what's real and raw and telling the story about it and capturing the beauty that's found in it. And so I turned towards more day in the lifestyle sort of thing. So I started capturing families, but then I just didn't love just doing all the different posing. Like I still have some sessions where they're the shorter sessions and it's more that way, but it's still very geared more towards organic, like connection and all of that versus like, everybody look here and smile. Like I always tell people, if you want the perfect smiling picture of everybody, don't hire me. Cause that's not my specialty. I'd much rather guide people in moments of connection and capture those moments that are happening. And so I have that, but my main thing that I capture are called their day in the life sessions. And so I really started doing that and having some clients that were regularly asking me to come and do that. And I just fell in love with that, because what we would do essentially is talk about the things that are most important to your family in that season. And then we would plan out like two or three kind of activities for your family to do. And I'm just there capturing those moments, and it allows for really beautiful, a really beautiful video as well as photos that tell the story of the season. It captures the voices of your children and just all these little things that children do, but then grow out of so quickly.
Yeah.
And especially after becoming a mom, I was like, this is so important. It's all happening too fast. And so I love just capturing what's real and raw and authentic.
That is so beautiful. And you know, I love how you say, if you just want smiles, that's not for you, because it's so funny when you get those pictures that are just raw. I love how you say plan three things so that you're excited, you're going to do something, you're physically active in something so that you can just kind of like they forget you're there, right? And so they act as they hopefully normally would. But I love when you get photos of people with certain expressions and their family can be like, that is so you. You always make that expression. And so you can capture those things forever, which is just it's so much more raw. And it's something that when you turn grandparents or great grandparents or anything else, and you pass down these stories associated with these photos, like you feel like you know them more than just someone staring at a screen and smiling. Like you get a piece of their life encapsulated forever. And that is just so beautiful. I just love that so much. And so when you do this, are you traveling? Do you try to just stay local to where you are? Like if someone was on here and they were in Tennessee or maybe in the Carolinas or somewhere, like do you do that kind of stuff?
I do. Okay. So this is the other part about me. I thought it was kind of an oxymoron, is that I love being home and I love homesteading, but I also love travel and adventure. Like I can't turn it off. Like I have to have both. And so a part of having this business as well is a really fun outlet for me, is that I do it for all over one, the US, but also the world. If there's anybody out there in the world that's like, hey, come film my family wherever we are, I'm like, yes, I will be there. So I've traveled back to Texas because I had a lot of clients back in Texas still from when I was working there. And so go back there. I've done Louisiana. I have one coming up in DC later this fall, as well as local ones. But I've also traveled to like Georgia, Alabama. Yeah, I've done some in like North Carolina. So I've gone all over, and it's definitely something that I love to do as a part of my work, seeing families in the different areas that they live in. So yeah, I do it all over, and it's so much fun that way.
That's okay. So that's exciting. So anyone who's on here and wants, they can definitely look you up, and we'll link all of her website and all of the social platforms and everything below these episodes, wherever you're seeing at, so you can access that. But I want to say the other day I saw, I think you posted something about like photos of your food and your airplanes and things are nice, but like we need actual real photos of people. How do you recommend that people, because I know even just non-professionally, like we all have so many photos and stuff on our phones. Do you have, I think it's so important to get them off your phones and in real life, because you don't know when you're going to lose. I mean, I know that there's clouds and everything else, but like you can still lose that kind of stuff. I feel like physical photos are so important. And 2 years ago, I decided that I would make it a priority every month. I did like one of those chapbook things where you do like your top 30 photos every month. And my daughter, like it's so fun to watch the kids look through their photos, because my son's not as much into it. My daughter loves to flip through the photos, and she loves to talk about things when she was little, or she knows this person, or this brings up a story. And it's like such a connection for her, to where I would feel bad not offering that to her. She really thrives on looking back through all these. So how do you recommend to people, or do you have a recommendation on how to get those photos out into the world?
Yeah, I love that. So your daughter sounds like me. That was always me. I was like, oh, I love this. Look at little me. Like, it just, it's, there's something so special. And not just of our own lives. Like, that is a huge benefit of it, for when our children are grown one day and we can look back and maybe things that are like faint memories for them all of a sudden come to life. And they're like, oh my gosh. And it just triggers all these different memories of their childhood. And me and my siblings have been real emo in the last week, like looking through, like I've been in the process of trying to digitize and put our VHSs onto hard drives for my family. There's a lot on my plate right now. So it's like, hasn't gotten done as quickly as we can, but like, we've been looking through some of those old videos, like, oh my gosh, like I remember that, and just crying over how thankful we are for our childhood. And there's something really beautiful in that. And so there's a few different ways that I really like to take art. Cause yeah, the video you're talking about, with, we have all these pictures of food on our phones and like airplane wings and all of that. And so I was making the joke of like, it's our great grandchildren trying to look for their family history, and all they have is all this digital dust of like them things, if they can even find that. Cause like you were saying, the cloud is, it can be great. Like I like having several different sources of backups. You know, if something were to ever happen, to a physical product, but also like things can be much harder to organize too, even in like the cloud. And I'm still searching for a cloud version of something that I am like really happy with. I like Box, but it has, once you reach a certain amount of storage, like it cuts you off no matter, like unless you want to pay like a ton of money, and you know, that's not doable for a lot of people. So what I like to do, so I still need to do a bit more, but I had like a scare moment, because in the first year of having my boys, I was not great at backing stuff up because I was just exhausted and it was just not on my mind. But I'm taking all these videos and photos of them, and then my phone just totally died on me. And I was like, did I just lose all of my footage? And I was able to revive it for a little bit here and there and slowly like transfer stuff off, but it was such a pain in the butt. And I was like, I cannot let that happen again. So I get physical hard drives, and you can just order them off of Amazon. I have some that I use for personal and business, because I'm always keeping all of my client stuff like extra backed up as well. And so you have physical hard drives, and you can have like, you know, thumb drives, things like that. So I always have two external hard drives. And so I have the one, and then I have a backup. But on top of that, I also am making sure we're getting things printed out as well. Mm-hmm. So what I do specifically for my clients, this is kind of what I've come to really in the last year. I include albums on all of my packages now, because I know for me in the past, whenever I've done a session, I have not always printed things out. And so then you just end up with having these things that are maybe on your computer, and you're never printing them out. It was like, what was the point of having those photos taken anyways, if you're not going to look at them? Like, you always kind of think, oh, I'm going to get to that eventually. I'm going to do that. And then life happens and you forget to print stuff out. So I, for the people that really want to prioritize preserving their family history, I'm the right person for them because my packages immediately include an album that I'm going to do all the work for you to print it out. And it's a very high quality. Oh, what is it called? It's meant to last, like the ink and the paper, excuse me, are very high quality to last for generations. So it's not just going to fade quickly. And then you have nothing to show for it. So that is what I like to do for my clients. They get a USB, they get an album, as well as now I'm doing video books because a big part of the session I do are the films. And so I recently found they're like books that you can open and it plays the video right away. And so
what? That is so cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's really fun because I have some clients who they've hired me year after year to document their family. And so they literally now they have this stack of albums that they can flip through. And taking photos and videos on our phone is great. Like, it's really cool that we can have access to capturing these moments, you know, but it's also quickly becomes overwhelming. And that's a lot to sort through. So even though, yes, I'm taking photos and videos on my phone all the time of my boys because I'm their mom and I can't not do that. And I'm doing my best to back that up as well. But I'm also, I hire someone for our family every year to come and do a video and photos for us because I know even if something happens with all my like footage from my phone and I'm doing my best to preserve that as well. But these are more like the milestone moments. So if my kids one day don't want to have to sort through the thousands and millions of photos and videos on my phone, they're always going to have a printed copy and a visual in their hands of year after year, what their family looked like, what they looked like, what they sounded like, all of those things. So I think that's what I really value and prioritize at the moment. And that's what I find my clients do as well that work with me is wanting to make sure they don't just want, like, I create beautiful photos, but they don't just want the pretty photos. They want their history and the memory of their children and what that season of life looked like. They want that. And they know that when they ask me to do this for them, that I'm going to just, I do all of the work for them. And then it's delivered in a pretty package on their front door, you know? And so I think that's what's really special is it's giving you something to actually pass on. And I think in homesteading, that's what we've seen is kind of this gap in losing a lot of these values and skills. That was for me, like I've learned everything through YouTube and different people that I've asked to come help me teach something because there was like a gap in between my parents and grandparents and having these skills. And so it's really easy when we're not taking the time to preserve our history to lose so much of what those who have gone before us did, the groundwork that they put in. And so I'm really a huge historian nerd for personal histories because there is something really beautiful and powerful about being able to have that history laid out before you and see what your grandparents, your great grandparents, what all of them did, what they were like, and to know where you came from. There's just something about that. It's just, it's really beautiful. And whether the family you came from was great or not, there's something about having that where you get to learn from that, whether you take the good or the bad or whatever it is, and grow from there. And then it's really huge to have that as a platform for us to stand on and then continue that for our children.
That's so true. And I love how you highlight both. Like, you do need a healthy mix. It's great if you take all your own photos and everything else, but there is something so special about having those photos professionally done to where you can, you don't feel the burden of it. Like, you can pass that on to someone else and know that they're going to do a good job. I so regret, I had Evelyn, a home birth with her, and it was kind of before home birth was really popular. She'll be 9 years old this year. And I didn't have, I felt, I don't know, I just part of it was just me. I was like, oh, I don't feel pretty or whatever. And so I didn't have anyone. And my mom wasn't great at taking photos. My husband wasn't great. And so I have no photos of the process of birthing her. And I so regret that. Like, that will just always weigh on me because I'm like, it was such a special moment. I was only able to have the one home birth and it was beautiful. And it's now only to my memories, and especially for Evelyn, who loves photos, like that would have meant so much. Sometimes we're selfish, I think. We're like, okay, we don't want to spend the money, or, oh, I don't feel like I look good. But if we can get past ourselves and realize that these photos are not just for us, they are for, like you said, the generations to come to feel like they have a connection to the past, it is so vital and important. I think more than we're even aware. Like, I think you're aware a lot because you are the photographer, but I think the normal person doesn't correlate that this is so important for the generations that come after us. So if anybody can learn from my my mistake, it's definitely take the time, invest in that for your children. It's so important. So I just love everything.
Yes. Oh
my gosh, I have a cat. Woo! make a little cameo there. So I just love this chat that we had today. And I love that you're in the thick of it. And so I just feel like you have that connection and that eye for someone who's living in that moment right now. That I've seen your photos, I've seen your videos. They are absolutely stunning. And I'm going to have you over someday and do it for us too, because I am so behind on photos. It's really bad. I feel like the first 2 years we were just like, we were in limbo with everything that was going on, but I need to make it a priority because it is. It's not just about me, and it's not just about, you know, what I want. It's for everyone. So, okay. Neely, how can everyone find you? What platforms are you the most, like, that you show up on the most? Tell us how we can hang out with you.
Yeah. So I am most active on my Instagram, and that's just at neely.briskey. And I also have my website, and I'm working on building up my email list and wanting to provide some valuable information on my email list as well, for even for the times where maybe you can't hire someone to come and do that for you, wanting to give more practical tips, like how to do that, how to get stuff off your phone, different hard drives, and like links to those kind of things that you can purchase to make sure that no matter where you are at in life and wherever your finances are, that you are still finding ways to be intentional and still preserving your story, whatever that may look like. And so, but mostly Instagram, and then working on that email list as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I know this is just going to be a blessing for so many people to listen to and an encouragement. And that's it for today, you guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.